The surveillance plan. After identifying the events to be monitored, the IP creates the written surveillance plan with input from members of their interdisciplinary team. The plan is then incorporated into the healthcare facility's overall IPC program. Some organizations might also use it as a guidance document. With the plan documented in writing, the IP can keep stakeholders informed of activities, goals, and objectives. A written plan also helps communicate the decision-making rationale of the IP and their team and serves as a one-stop location for all information pertaining to surveillance activities, methodologies, data collection, case definitions, etc. Different facilities may use their own internal terminology and have a preferred format, digital, print, etc., but common components of a surveillance plan include the following. Facility or community information. Basic information about the healthcare facility setting, including the services provided and populations served. It is useful to include information about the IP, example, contact details. Purpose, goals, and objectives. Identified based on the facility and IPC risk assessments. Risk assessment results. Identified based on the facility and IPC risk assessments. Events monitored and criteria used. Information about the events/infections that will be monitored and the criteria used to select them. Reason behind event selection. A brief explanation of and justification for the event selection. Methodology. A description of the methodology that the surveillance program is going to follow, including data collection methods. Strategies. A description and explanation of the strategies to be used in order to meet the defined goals and objectives. Applicable mandatory reporting requirements, local, regional, national. Details and information on all local, regional, and national reporting requirements that are applicable to the events that will be monitored. It is useful to include contact details for recipients, reports and recipients, all stakeholders, individuals and departments, and which reports each will receive and when. Every surveillance program will generate multiple reports over its duration, from regular updates for key stakeholders to a final report at the end of the planned timeframe. These reports, which will vary in length, depth, and frequency, will need to be disseminated to the relevant stakeholders. Reports should also be shared with the facility's Public Information Committee. The surveillance plan should be thought of as a living document. It will be updated throughout the surveillance process on a periodic basis and whenever a significant change is made, for example, to the case definition or the risk assessment. The IP should see that appropriate sections are updated as changes happen or new information arises. An example of a simple surveillance plan to address a rise in the number of catheter-associated urinary tract infections, CAUTI-S, identified in a hospital's orthopedic department can be seen in Exhibit 2-8. Exhibit 2-8, Surveillance IPC Plan. Note that in addition to surveillance plans for acute care hospitals, information on surveillance programs has been published for a variety of non-hospital healthcare settings, long-term care, LTC, ambulatory surgery, outpatient hemodialysis, physicians' offices and clinics, and home care. Surveillance plan evaluation. The surveillance plan should be periodically evaluated so that it continues to include the information needed to meet the healthcare facility's goals and objectives. At a minimum, the IP and their team should review the surveillance plan on a routine annual basis. However, it is likely that the plan will need to be revisited more frequently due to emerging and novel pathogenic threats. Due to the close relationship between a healthcare facility's risk assessment and its surveillance plan and activities, it is essential that the surveillance plan be reviewed whenever the IPC risk assessment is updated. Surveillance activities should be generating useful information and data, which, when acted on, should improve performance and outcomes. The program's structure and activities should be compared with current evidence-based practices and published recommendations and guidelines for surveillance programs in similar settings. Staying informed about any changes to national, regional, or local requirements is essential for the IP, and any changes in regulation should result in a review of the surveillance plan to ensure that it remains in compliance. When assessing the surveillance program, the IP and their team should ask the following questions. Does the plan incorporate all the elements of an effective surveillance program? Are data collected and collated by knowledgeable and qualified personnel? Is the program being used to monitor and improve outcomes and processes? Are the quality and accuracy of surveillance data periodically evaluated and validated? Is the surveillance methodology periodically evaluated and validated? Are appropriate statistical methods used when comparing data internally over time? Are appropriate statistical methods used when comparing data with external benchmarks? Have information technology and personnel resources been identified? Is information technology being used to collect, store, manage, and analyze data as much as possible? Identifying gaps in available resources is an important aspect of the surveillance plan/program evaluation process. Without the appropriate resources, a surveillance program can struggle to be effective and efficient. Once the IP has identified a gap in the available resources, they should assess why this gap exists and investigate potential remedies. For example, if there is not enough qualified staff available to participate in the surveillance team, then it may be necessary to arrange educational offerings for other interested HCP. Such a solution benefits not only the surveillance efforts by increasing the number of qualified contributors, but also provides personal development opportunities for HCP. A surveillance plan should be evaluated on its ability to achieve goals and objectives. Specifically, it should be evaluated to identify whether or not the program has demonstrated that it can detect infections, injuries, and other events in a timely manner. Identify trends signaling changes in the occurrence of an event. Detect epidemiologically significant organisms and diseases, outbreaks, and clusters of infection. Identify risk factors associated with infection or other adverse events. Provide an estimate of the magnitude of the event being monitored. Assess the effectiveness of prevention and control efforts. Lead to improved practices by healthcare providers and other HCP. The important thing to remember during an evaluation, whether of the surveillance plan or any other aspect of IPC, is to focus on actionable items that lead to improved outcomes. Surveillance action plans. As data are collected, compiled, and organized, IPs must turn their attention to transforming their findings and recommendations into action. This is a continuous, ongoing process. Action plans detail the steps necessary for reaching the goals and addressing the issues identified during surveillance. By examining and analyzing their surveillance findings, IPs can identify control and prevention measures that may improve patient outcomes or prevent the transmission of pathogens. This process of change and improvement is cyclical in IPC. As one round of changes or improvements ends, another begins. For example, during a routine surveillance program, an IP might discover that the rate of hand hygiene compliance has dropped from 80% to 50% of observed hand hygiene opportunities. By analyzing the data, the IP may be able to identify when, where, and even why this is happening. Perhaps they discover that it is typically happening in departments where sanitizer dispensers are less common or are placed in suboptimal locations for quick and frequent use. Such a finding would lead the IP to design an action plan that seeks to address the issue. The data would then be presented to stakeholders in order to share recommended evidence-based intervention strategies to increase the number of sanitizer dispensers and wash stations, as well as to improve educational offerings for HCP in the form of a refresher course, improved signage, etc. Or, during an outbreak or pandemic, the surveillance program might identify or confirm an increase in the non-compliance of staff wearing N95 respirators. The data might show that staff did not appropriately use N95 respirators 25 times during a total of 100 observations. The surveillance program should be able to discover the cause of this lower compliance. Perhaps it is due to dwindling PPE stocks, which has led HCP to exhaust their supplies of N95s or to reuse them for longer periods of time than recommended by the manufacturer. In another example, the IP might identify an increase in the non-compliance of HCP wearing gowns when working with patients in contact isolation precautions. The IP data might show that staff did not appropriately use gowns for patients in contact precautions 25 times during a total of 100 observations. The surveillance program should be able to discover the cause of this lower compliance. Is a new type of gown being supplied to staff and they find it more difficult to don and doff? Is it PPE fatigue due to many patients and contact precautions? Is there a new group of nursing and medical residents who are not familiar with contact isolation precautions? Once the IP determines the cause of noncompliance with gowns, they should implement strategies for improving compliance and monitor for sustainment. This could include education for new HCP or working with the supply chain to provide gowns that are preferred by staff, perhaps even engaging staff in the selection of a new gown. Not all surveillance program action plans will drive big changes. Often, they can identify multiple small changes that might be made to improve patient and HCP outcomes, health, and welfare. The bigger the change needed, though, the more important it is for the IP to present a compelling and convincing case to leadership and other stakeholders so that they will approve what needs to be done by turning the IP's recommendations into action.